Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet. Welcome to another Tadpog podcast. It's a show that happens twice a week where two old guys stare into Eisenhower's pre-established pipes to see a mustachioed cleric on the other side and talk about old games. It's original every Wednesday, so that means we are doing our second original continuation of the series, playing through Dorkly's top 25 and 64 games. This week, we're going to be talking about, just the glory that is the 23rd ranked game, Star Wars Shadows of the Empire. And we had to go back to our resident Star Wars expert, Grandmaster Wiley Ammons.
Hey, Wiley.
Hello there, Tadpog Nation.
You're looking really nice on this holodeck we've got on the table. You're coming in crisp and clear.
Those Patreon pledges coming pretty solid. Got our own holodeck machine. It's pretty good.
We look good in blue hue.
Yes. Well, we went for the green model. Is that cool?
Oh, yeah. That's fine. It's more environmentally friendly.
Many Bothans died to get us this holodeck, so.
What? I know what those are.
Yeah.
I don't know what those are.
They're like werewolf camels, kind of.
What?
They're like werewolf camels.
Werewolf camels?
So they look like. They look like if.
So camels that turn into wolves at a full moon?
Yeah. And they're really good spies. They're like the. They're like the halflings of the Star Wars universe, but that's not really a good way of putting it.
Man, which part of them's the sentient, like civilized part, the werewolf or the camel?
No, they're like that all the time. They just kind of look like, imagine Joe Camel, right?
Uh-huh.
Imagine Joe Camel, but he's Teen Wolf.
Got poon face.
He's got poon face. That's what a Bothan looks like.
Okay.
And they're usually spies.
Hmm.
And that's a line in one of the movies. The Death Star information, the schematics. Leia says that many Bothans died.
Yep.
To give us this information. Something
okay.
like that.
Okay.
I'm paraphrasing. Also, I think it was Leia.
I think so too. Pretty sure it was.
I'm glad you could confirm that for me.
You're welcome.
So you still haven't watched these movies, huh?
No. Okay. No. I think it only behooves us that I don't.
Yeah.
Since we have to play these Star Wars games. And I've got opinions about Star Wars games.
Yeah.
Plausible deniability.
But first, I'm your beard host, Tyler. And Zach had a call the other day about a regretful recall, and I couldn't think of anything at the moment. So the other night, I had all my medications on. I was about to fall asleep, so I'm kind of out of it. And I suddenly, I get one. So, I fumble for my phone. I'm like, anytime I get one, I know I'll forget it. So I can't just okay, that'll be my story. I have to text Dave immediately so I have a record of it. So I text Dave, I deciphered what I meant, but it was mostly nonsense that I text Dave.
I've got this text message in front of me. It's almost like you're trying to summon Cthulhu. I've got, from Tyler, Sunday, 2:55 a.m. Regentful, that's with two T's, recall for not understanding what sucking a golf ball, though a garden hose, meant before using it in Cove Ein Versatin.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So.
Isn't he a fashion designer?
Isn't it the Kobayashi Maru? My middle school had us do the Cove Ein Versatin, which is another test to go to high school.
The Bothans invented the Kobayashi Maru. them and the Time Lords together.
I believe that. I could get on board for that.
They had to cross the Dothraki Sea in order to do it.
You are making so many nerds angry right now.
Oh, man. Now, I can't even fucking think of the right thing I want to say right now, that they summoned their Patronus that led them all across the Dothraki Sea.
Yes.
But here is that story. I was in sixth grade, and I think I'd been over at my older cousin's house, and I'd seen the first half of Full Metal Jacket. Didn't really get a lot of it. Most of it flew over my head. I just thought, you know, this is pretty funny. This is a pretty funny movie.
This guy will be Kingpin one day.
It's a great comedy. This is a great comedy, this Full Metal Jacket. And there's at one point where he says, I think the drill sergeant, you know, says, I bet you could suck a golf ball through a garden hose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That flies over my head. I'm just thinking, that's a weird compliment to give somebody. I mean, for someone to have that kind of, you know, lung strength, lung capacity, that's pretty impressive. I don't see where he's going.
You could
there.
Be an astronaut.
So I had no clue. So I remember I was in class with somebody and we got in an argument. And
what grade was this?
Sixth grade.
Okay.
And this other kid is cutting me down and I'm getting mad and he's coming down on me or whatever, and then I'm just like, yeah, well, I could suck a golf ball through a garden hose. And it just goes, everything just goes silent.
The record scratches.
And he just kind of looks at me, he's like, well, I bet you could, I guess. And I'm just like, yeah, yeah, be impressed. I bet I can do that.
In your face.
You bitch.
Pleased to meet you.
Brian. So then it wasn't until many years later I remember like, oh, huh, that wasn't great to say.
Has he ever Facebook messaged you like recently?
We were friends like a week after that, but yeah. He was also my running mate when I ran for fourth grade class president.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was my vice president.
Okay. Was your slogan...
Golf balls and garden hoses. I'll suck them all.
At your rallies, people just have hoses and they're swinging over their heads like lassos.
throw golf balls like rice whenever I walk out.
And their dicks are out also. Forgot that.
Teachers strangely interested, students strangely confused.
What's up, internet? I'm Dave. I'm your bespectacled host. And Wiley fortunately reminded me that I had a story that I was going to tell in a previous episode that I changed my intro story. And I feel like I may have told this story on the show before, but when I graduated from Murray State University, I got a job at the newspaper in Paducah. So we weren't ready to move. Nikki and I didn't really have any money saved up to make a deposit on an apartment or anything like that. So, and she had her job there in Murray. So what that meant was a lot of waking up at 5:30 and driving to Paducah to get to work. Yeah. And I would do this every day, Monday through Friday. And it's about a 45-minute drive. So, I mean, that's a good commute, especially for 2004. I am not yet introduced to podcasts. I do not have an iPod or any kind of device, so it's pretty much just CDs or radio. So what that translates to is a lot of going to OC Remix and downloading all the Final Fantasy VI nice. Tracks that they have, loading it up on a CD, and just putting it in the car and playing that. So the problem with that is I hear it enough. I hear it every day. And it starts to get old. I should throw something new in. And I notice that I'm getting tired because I'm waking up early in the morning. I'm driving. I'm going to work. I'm working. I'm driving home. And then, of course, I'm staying up all night and playing video games mm-hmm. instead of going mm-hmm. to bed. It's pretty much what I do now, just without the driving. I still haven't learned. So what that means is after about 3 or 4 weeks of this, I'm tired all the time. I'm exhausted all the time, which doesn't mix well with all this driving that I'm doing because I will straight up take a nap while I'm driving.
Yeah.
Like I just will do that. And I don't even have to be like really tired. As long as I'm just a little tired, if I'm a little tired, I can be on the interstate and just like, I'll find myself closing my, like,
you're like Kenna like that. Yeah. I can just put her in the car and drive around. She's going to fall asleep.
My blinks, they get longer and longer to the point where.
Put Dave in his carrier, put him in the car, drive him around. He'll fall asleep. That would have been bad.
I prefer the crate. Okay. I feel more secure in the crate.
And now after so many repeated listens, what is now your sleepy time music?
Yeah, exactly. This is essentially the
Falling Asleep to One Winged Angel on the OC Remix.
The opera is essentially my lullaby. And I remember one day I was driving home on 641, a highway, I wouldn't say major highway, but it's pretty much one of the only ways into Murray. And I remember not knowing what was going on and feeling this thud, 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 and opening my eyes, and there was a big road closed sign right in front of me. Like, it was like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, like scary. Like, I just kind of like opened my eyes, like, oh shit. And I, without thinking, I mean, it was just reflex. I just turned the wheel like to the maximum. Like, the steering column could have come out. I turned it so fucking hard and fast to the right. And my car jerks back onto the road. Cause what I've done, of course, is driven off the road. For some reason, they had a road closed sign in the median. I don't know what that was about. They just really didn't want us on the media.
This is really going to freak out more on his way home.
Yeah, exactly. We see this guy every day. This is about where he hits the opera song from Final Fantasy VI, and we want to really want to scare his ass. Which might be the case, because that might be the only reason that road was clear. The highway was completely clear. But I didn't know that at the time, because I didn't know what the hell was going on. I jerked the wheel hard, get back on the road, end up doing a 360 on the highway. The car stops facing the direction that I was originally going. Mm-hmm. And it was just like the smell of rubber and like the rubber smoke is like all around me. And I just kind of sat there for a minute, still not exactly knowing what's going on. And then I realized, oh, I'm on the highway. I need to go. I need to like not park the car here.
Awesome.
So I start driving back towards home, and it was no more than 5 minutes later I'm falling asleep again.
Oh, wow.
That probably would have brought me up the rest of the way home. But like,
yeah, that adrenaline was that I had a really good spike for like 5 minutes where my heart was like beating up against my rib cage, and then we did it. We could probably do it again. It's fine.
Man, rumble strips usually give me enough adrenaline to get home.
Normally, if I feel if I'm really about to fall asleep, then like I have to start screaming. I will drive my car and just be screaming and pounding my feet. It's about the only thing that will work to get me to my destination. Yeah.
I try to tickle the roof of my mouth with my tongue.
I have to try that.
And it is infuriating, but it works for me most of the time.
Mine is usually jacking up max AC and blowing it right in my face, and so I'm so freezing cold that I can't go to sleep.
Oh,
I do that. That's gonna put me asleep. I do that all the time anyway.
I hate it because it dries my eyes out, which makes it like every time I blink, it's just like a reward.
Keep them closed.
Yeah, exactly.
I will keep my car so cold that the air conditioner gives me an ice cream headache.
Oh, wow. God. Yeah. I didn't know that was possible.
Yeah. When it's right on your face, you get that referred pain right there. Yeah.
Really? Wow. What's up, Wiley?
One of the only times I've ever been pulled over, I was dozing off on the way home from work way back when I worked at AOL, and the cop decided to give me a long lecture about the dangers of sleeping while driving because he knew I wasn't drunk. I was like 16.
Yeah, it's not a good thing. It's not something I'm proud of, but, you know, at least I'm not drinking and driving much.
Much. Just doing it like Mad Men style, just like from neighborhood to neighborhood, whenever you go over to someone's house drinking.
Exactly, like when I leave Tyler's house and go home tonight. If there's not an episode next week, well, you know why.
Dave died.
I either fell asleep or just drank a whole lot before I left here.
And I'm your jailed host, Dave.
My one call.
We have to do it serial style. Like, you have a collect call from Dave at the Paducah Penitentiary. That's where it is now. We're just gonna say it's there.
You have a collect call from motherfucking Tadpog.
Nice.
What's up, Wiley?
Well, hello, Tadpog Nation. I am your mustachioed host, Wiley. And if Tyler has a long run of never watching Star Wars, I probably have a very long run of watching them all the time.
I love you, Wiley. Have I ever mentioned that?
What's that?
Have I ever mentioned that I love you, Wiley?
Oh, I love you too, Dave. And you too, Tyler. I mean,
I love you, but I also want to steal all the knowledge out of your head.
Yeah, after I listened to that episode, I sent you a text message that said, move to Florida and I will teach you everything I know.
No, I don't want to have to like go through that whole process. I just want to take it from you like I'm uploading from the Matrix. Just take it from you.
Oh, I'll trade you. Give me some of those DM skills.
Fair.
I don't know if that's fair.
Shh.
Oh, no, that's totally a good deal.
Speaking of which, where is Leva in Florida?
Orlando.
Yeah, that's a little far for our group. We're like 2 hours north. But yeah, so I was saying before the show started, I used to go over, I met this kid in Little League, and we found out on the baseball team that we lived down the same street. I could ride my bike to his house.
Just like a week ago?
So we used to spend the night back and forth at one another's houses on the weekends. And his parents were way more strict than my parents about what he ate. I have never had milk for dinner in my life.
Like that's it?
To drink.
Okay.
It's that one glass of milk down in front of everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Your liquid sustenance, boy.
Now that you say it, yes. I was ambiguous. No, we would have like pepperoni pizza and milk.
Yeah, I had a friend that did that too.
Yeah.
Oh, hate it. Yeah,
it was weird. But he was a good friend of mine, and we used to go over, and after dinner, mom and dad had really strict requirements about what he could eat. It couldn't be sugary. It couldn't have caffeine in it, like maybe because they thought it would keep him up, mm-hmm. or they wanted him to eat healthy or what have you. And really the only snack they had in the house that we would be allowed to eat were dill pickles. And there would be this jumbo jar of large dill pickles just hanging out in his fridge. And you know, I'm fifth grade,
uh-huh.
fourth grade. I'm playing Little League. So here we are, look, with giant dill pickles in our hands. It looks like a baby's holding it and chomping on that. And we would watch Star Wars. And so it would be like Capri Sun. The crayon apple or crayon grape. Ocean spray.
Ugh.
I think we had the same friend, Ugh. Riley. We might have just...
And dill pickles and Return of the Jedi, because he liked the Ewoks. So we would watch, most of the time it would be Return of the Jedi. I could every once in a while talk him into A New Hope.
Did you explain to him that the Ewoks are the worst thing in that movie?
I tried. I tried. But he's a fifth grader.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, you don't want to stop that pickle supply either. You badmouth the Ewoks, you might not get any more pickles.
But as giant as they were, you know, like at the beginning, this seems like a really good idea because you're hungry and it's late at night and it's a snack and whatever. So what if it's a dill pickle? But when you get halfway through it and it's still there and now it's warm. This started a lot better.
Oh, just wash it down with a nice lukewarm room temperature glass of cranberry juice.
Or milk, whichever you prefer. Because my friend, ever for dinner, we had to drink milk at his house. And he would always, his mom would put it in the freezer until she gave it to us. And they were just like, it was iced over the top. And we had to crack the ice on top.
Ugh.
And it was just like chunky ice in it.
Ugh.
Just ice milk. That's every time for dinner.
Going over to a friend's house, any friend's house, when I was around fifth grade, fourth grade, was just a nightmare for me because I was such a picky eater. Like, it was just like, how am I going to offend my friend's mom tonight? Because, I mean, it didn't matter who it was. It was just like, I just gotta eat this. Like, I just have to eat this and maybe push some around the plate, hide some a little bit. Yeah.
Yep, but there we would awake early the next morning on a pallet in his living room floor, half-eaten pickles in our hands.
Pickle drunk.
Right? Dreams of fuzzy teddy bears.
You want to talk about Star Wars?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Well, the N64 game. Wars. You want to talk about Shadows of the Empire?
Oh,
not the book, the N64 game.
I want to talk about it less than I want to talk about Star Wars. But yeah, we can do that. That's what the show's about. So, I mean, when people saw the name of this episode, I mean, they were probably
expecting this. Yeah.
I'm surprised at the number of my friends who have played this game. I ran it by a couple of them. They're like, oh, yeah, I love that game.
Really?
And looking up the date when it was released, I was playing PC games by now.
Yeah, so. I was too. I'm glad that you bring that up because we've talked about how much better Star Wars games were on the PC.
Oh, yes.
In the past, like especially in the SNES era. Spoilers.
Yeah.
I was, here's the deal. I never played this game. like most N64 games. Never played. So every N64 game that I play, I have the fortune of playing without any nostalgia goggles at all. I feel like I'm getting better at just understanding the limitations of the system and appreciating what technology they had at the time and the fact that they're dealing with a cartridge-based system as opposed to some kind of optical media. That all being said, oh boy, oh boy, Shadows of the Empire. I also, Wiley, I also know people who love this game. They love this game. And I remember when this game came out, it was in magazines everywhere. All the gaming magazines were talking about this game and about how amazing it was. So it was really hard for me to appreciate that hype, the 1998 hype machine.
Yeah.
When it's I was got 3D, playing this.
Dave.
I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess. What was your experience like, Tyler and Wiley?
Well, do you hear that?
No, I don't. Is it the hover train?
Dave reads from Picklepedia.
Oh, is Picklepedia a thing? I'm looking it up. I'm looking it up right now.
And if it is, I'm not going there.
We're registering that. If it's available, we're registering Picklepedia.
But it's dicks. It's a lot of.
It's a hot or not for dicks.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Pickle surprise, motherfuckers.
Picklepedia. Yes, picklepedia.com it's taken, unfortunately. It's just a line of text that says, too much spam, view source for info.
See, this could have been my $1 million idea.
Yeah. So, no, I don't hear that train. What is it? It sounds like a cat hacking up a hairball or something.
It's two kids eating pickles and getting sick of them halfway through.
Oh yeah. Hey, I know that conductor. That's our very own beloved Wiley Ammons.
Choo choo.
Driving in the Dave Reads from Wikipedia train. Okay, guys. Star Wars: Shadows of the Empire. They go, first of all,
say it in Japanese.
Well, they don't have a Japanese translation here. But I can do my best. I can do my best for
British ones. Japanese Star Wars is Sailor Moon, so they have their own thing. Yeah.
Tuxedo Mask is pretty much the best Darth Vader.
Put on our next t-shirt. Sailor Moon is Japanese Star Wars. Oh,
yeah. Speaking of making nerds angry.
LucasArts Shadows of the Empire was one of the first games available for the Nintendo 64. I guess that has a lot to do with the hype. And later for Windows. The most commercial product in the Shadows of the Empire line, the game was first released in December 1996 as an exclusive N64 title 4 months after the console's launch. In the game, players control mercenary Dash Rendar in his efforts to help Luke Skywalker and rescue Princess Leia from Prince Shizor's hands. It is divided into four parts or chapters. And then they list all the parts and chapters, which I'm not going to really go over. The N64 and PC versions differ somewhat. The PC version has sharper and smoother gameplay graphics when using a 3D card. I mean, okay. Both versions have slightly different cutscenes. The PC version has full motion cinematic cutscenes with sound effects and voices, while the N64 version utilizes artwork with text at the bottom of the screen. There's a whole big section about, actually the game is just a subsection of the Wikipedia entry for Shadows of the Empire, because it was a really cool thing that they did where they were, it makes it sound like they were testing the waters of whether another movie would be worth it, because they did this whole multimedia thing where it's like, we're going to have a book that takes place. It's going to be written it's going to be written by Steve Perry. May or may not be the Steve Perry from Journey. Okay. I don't know. I haven't confirmed it. It's going to take place in between two of the movies. It's going to take place between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. and we're gonna create a soundtrack for it like we would a movie. We're gonna release that. We're gonna sell that. We're gonna sell the book. We're gonna do a comic book that ties in with the main story. We'll release a game. Pretty much anything that we can do to promote this and to enrich this, we're gonna do. I read the book. I don't know if either of you guys have read the book. I read it in high school when it came out.
It'd be pretty good if I've only seen like episode 1, 2, and 3 and read this book.
No, you would have gone in blind. Yeah, because 1, 2, and 3 hadn't been out. So it was just, it would have been like a whim. You're like, yeah, okay. The Star Wars thing. Sure.
I'll give this a shake.
And then you would have been
on sale.
He would have been that guy who's like, you know what? Han Solo's okay, but he's no Dash Rendar.
Yes. Speaking of terrible character names, come on.
Dash Rendar. Yeah. And Dash is essentially, spoilers for those who haven't, if you haven't watched Empire Strikes Back, you might want to go ahead and skip ahead 2 minutes. At the end of Empire Strikes Back, Han Solo gets frozen and carbonite. You have to listen. I'm sorry. You have to listen.
I know that.
He gets frozen in carbonite and not to be released from his carbonite prison until probably about 30 minutes into Return of the Jedi. So this book takes place in between those two movies, and this game takes place in between these two movies. So, I mean, you got to have Han Solo in there, right? But we can't. Mm-hmm. But we can't because he's frozen in carbonite. I know what we'll do. We will create Dash Rendar,
who the store brand version of Han Solo.
Exactly. He's the blue light special Han Solo. He doesn't have a Wookiee companion. He has a droid companion named Lebo. And he doesn't drive the Millennium Falcon. I think his ship is the Outrunner. But it looks a lot. It looks kind of like
he drives the thousand-year bird.
So he is. That's all you need to know. He is the off-brand Han Solo, and he is also the star of Shadows of the Empire.
Mm. Mm. I guess it's a better name than Sean Duo.
Sean Duo.
Yeah, if you're doing store brand Han Solo, it's like Honey Nut Cheerios or God. Honey O's.
Well, see, since I've never seen the movies, I've never played the games. I feel like that's the draw. Like, you love the movies, so you play the games. So, one, I don't have nostalgia glasses for any of these games. Mm-hmm. Two, I don't have Star Wars goggles. I don't have, like, a love for the movies that makes me appreciate the elements that I'm playing with.
Yet.
I want to interject and just say that I think if you had Star Wars goggles for a lot of these games, they would be working against the games. Favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Because I'm playing all these Star Wars games based solely on their gameplay mechanics. And so far, out of all the Star Wars games that I have played, I have thought every single one of them are fucking terrible. And I feel like all of these games just like, okay, well, it's Star Wars, so we don't have to try that hard. People will buy it no matter what because it's Star Wars. Mm-hmm. So who cares if it's a functional good game? It's Star Wars. They'll love it. They'll eat it up. So...
Yeah, Dave, you were talking about the 90s promotional machine.
Yeah.
I'd bet all of the box images and magazine images were all of those main Star Wars characters in the half-second cutscene that you get to see them. Did you look at any of that stuff?
No, I didn't. Are you talking about the PC version cutscenes?
No, they're, I mean, if you call them a cutscene, in between the story sections, to see Han Solo shows up in this game.
Yeah, at the beginning. Yeah, at the beginning at Echo Base on Hoth. Han is like, hey, good buddy Dash Rendar, I'm just going to jet on out of here, take care of things on Echo Base.
That's right. The Empire's coming. Yeah. I'm out of here. Good luck, sucker.
Which I'm glad you brought that up because I want to express my experience with Shadows of the Empire. This is what happened. I put the game in, turn the game on. Everything loads up. Okay, so far so good. The game, I have that weird conversation with Han Solo, which I don't remember from the book because it didn't fucking happen. There's no mention of Dash Rendar ever being on Hoth or in the Battle of Hoth. And then the Battle of Hoth happens. And you're in a snowspeeder.
Well, let me ask you something about this. Out of all the movies, everything that from the movies and now from the games, like based on me playing the games, like Hoth that's pretty much the planet where all of Star Wars happens, right?
Well, you're kind of going where I was going.
Yeah.
Because the Battle of Hoth is like, that seems to be and 80% of Star Wars games.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So it's like, okay, I guess Ewoks are amazing and powerful. The Sand People rule a third of the universe and the entire world. Hoth is the sun in which everything circulates around.
Yeah, pretty much.
Everything else is made of ice.
Which the Battle of Hoth is amazing. I love that. It's a great, yeah. It's great in the movie. And honestly, I think it's great in this game.
When I agree too. With the A-Wing, you get to pull the rope around the feet of those AT-ST walkers, and that's like epic Star Wars moment that you get to play.
Absolutely. And I was really enjoying this game. I was like, holy shit, this game kind of plays like Rogue Squadron. This is great. This is going to be an awesome experience.
And then it reminded me of Rebel Assault. Did you play Rebel Assault on the PC? It was one of the very first CD-ROM games I ever saw.
Yes, absolutely. That game is great.
Yeah. So the very first scene reminded me a lot of that, and I thought, this is going to be awesome.
Yeah, 100%. I was completely on board. And then the Battle of Hoth ends. You finish that, and now all of a sudden the game is a third-person, over-the-shoulder shooter.
Yeah.
It's completely different.
How do you shoot Dash Rendar from the hip exclusively?
There's no reticule. That's it. No, nothing exactly.
I injured my shoulder. I had my shoulders. I call my shoulders my little arm soldiers. So I got my little arm soldiers. Had them affixed in place so I can't raise my arms, which makes me a better pilot, but I exclusively shoot from the hip.
And you're saying you didn't read the book?
Oh, so
yeah,
the shooting part, like, that is really not a good part.
Yeah, well, and that brings me to one of my control like criticisms. The thing this game was missing, and I know it was a limited of the Nintendo 64, was a second analog stick.
Yeah. Yeah, because everything is pretty much on one plane, right? I mean, you can hold down the Z button on the back and bend forward. Mm-hmm. And down, which looks hilarious, by the way, because Dash is frozen from the hips down, and then his body does this like nightmarish Geppetto, like marionette move, where it's like you can bend him pretty much at the waist, like 90 degrees back.
Like the old G.I. Joe toys that they had the rubber band holding there.
Yeah.
Which after watching this, Meg was like, that's not so hard. I can do that. So we got to watch Meg try to like plant her hips and bend awkwardly around. She could not do it. She's no Dash Rendar.
I don't also feel like she wasn't putting her heart into it.
Mm. Yeah, or just weird stuff splicers are doing in BioShock was the other thing I thought about.
Yeah, that's
crazy contortionists.
And I don't know which game came out first. I'm assuming Tomb Raider, because this game, the controls of all like the shooting and your movement, your controls are just like copy and paste from Tomb Raider. Like you move just like Lara Croft, your platforming is very similar, only it's just done like not nearly as well. One, because like you're playing Tomb Raider and like the D-pads, it's hard to keep going with the D-pad.
Yeah, the D-pad's just camera angles.
Yeah, and the joystick, like, it's very easy to jump too far, overcorrect, slide around. Like, you haven't played it yet, Dave, but Zelda Ocarina of Time, the wing boots allow you to fly, but also you have zero traction, and you're just slipping around constantly. Like, the whole, everything is grease. And that's sort of how Dash Rendar, I mean, everything's got grease on it. And he's just like sliding around, jumping. Yeah. He's having trouble. And then floating, like he's got a permanent float spell cast on him. So you jump and you just like hang there, float real slow, and then slip. And
Ocarina.
Ocarina, thank you.
Yeah, we'll get Ocarina.
We'll do flashcards. Yeah, maybe it is Ocarina.
Check out the big brain on Brad. They were released the same year. I was just looking at Tomb Raider.
I was looking that up too. I was looking at the month. Let's see. Tomb Raider came out in October.
25 October. Shadows of the Empire was 3rd December.
So you're right. Tomb Raider did it first.
Wow.
The controls are wonky. You're right.
Because instead of like having like an exploration-based game, why don't we, all right, take Lara Croft and put her in Star Wars and give her a gun and just make it to where she kills stuff. She just shoots stuff in front of her. She kills stuff. She jumps and she flips switches. And that's going to be what the game is.
Mm-hmm. Can Lara Croft strafe?
That is a good question. I don't know. I never played the first
one. I believe she can. Yeah. I played the first one just because of the supposed nude patch. Which I tried, like, I had no idea what I was doing. I fucked my computer in that game all up trying to do that. I went to every, like, site I could do, like, nude patch. I didn't know anything about downloading anything bad.
I just want to see cartoon
nude patch. It'd be much easier to, like, just type in and go look at pornography as opposed to trying to...
No, I get it.
...take off her pixelated shirt for her awful triangle boobs. But no, that's what I did.
Nude patch. Lara Croft, Tyler.
I got the nude patch. I remember getting the nude patch, installing the nude patch, taking time to figure it out, booted it up. I was like, oh, this is dumb. this is like the least arousing thing. And I quit the game, uninstalled the game entirely, and did a fresh install. I think this was like Tomb Raider 2 or 3.
You really could have just like... taking the clothes off a Barbie and have the same effect of the nude patch.
I can't speak for Tomb Raider 1 nude patch, but I can say that Tomb Raider 2, if it's 2 or 3, I can't remember. I get those numbers mixed up all the time, as you know. Resident Evil 2, Resident Evil 3, it's all the same to me. One of those nude patches, just not worth it. Just not worth it. I'll take Creek pornography over nude patch any day.
Down by the river.
Exactly.
It had such a strong start. And then, so about the strafing, I discovered that you could do that about halfway through this game.
Me
and
too.
It totally changed it, not to the good, but to the better.
Yeah, okay. That's a good way of putting that, I think. How about first person mode? Did you discover that?
I did. Well, see, those C buttons, they all did something different.
Yes.
And not until my buddy Jordan came over and paused it and showed me that you could see the controls in the pause screen.
The option, yeah.
I was just guessing. And one of those C buttons would change the camera angle.
Right.
And that would always be the one I pressed at that critical moment where I needed to duck.
Or you're trying to switch weapons. Yeah.
And I like creatively changed the camera angle and watched myself get hurt.
What is up with that cinematic camera angle? It's like... Do you know the one I'm talking about? Like you've got the over the shoulder and then you hit the camera button once and this little cinematic camera icon shows up at the bottom of the screen and it's just the camera looking at Dash Rendar. It's like there is no reason that this is in the game because first of all, you cannot play the game this way.
No.
It is impossible because you won't be able to see where you're going or what you're shooting. And secondly, it's just showing you ugly ass Dash Rendar.
Yeah, and it's not like you can take a screenshot on a Nintendo 64.
The programmers were like, we did a good job on this. Look at his face.
Look at him.
It doesn't look like a catcher's mitt. Is there the story of this? Is it parallel to the book? Do they do a good job like adapting the storyline?
Kind of, sort of. Not really. I mean, I think it's like a missed opportunity because I liked the Shadows of the Empire book when I was in high school. And for this show, I found Shadows of the Empire audiobook on YouTube.
Wow.
I'm sure it's 100% illegal, but I found it and listened to it. It's kind of done, but like a radio drama almost. It's like 3 hours long. It's entertaining. I figured I was going to listen to it and be like, oh God, I cannot believe I enjoyed this when I was younger. But I listened to it and it's not... great fiction or anything, but it held up for me. The game does not do the book any credit, I don't think. Meg, do you want to jump on? Okay,
She just wants to listen to Wiley.
Okay.
She misses Wiley.
I miss you too, Meg.
I miss you.
I know, I hate that I'm not going to see you in May, but I understand.
She's only speaking in one or two words at a time now. That's her new thing.
I'm tired.
There you go, now you're on.
Oh, I'm tired.
We're just talking about Shadows of the Empire in here and how I feel like there are a lot of missed opportunities in the game because they could have really tied it into the book instead of retelling Dash's story in a really weird way.
I mean, this is Expanded Universe, right?
Yeah.
Are there any other games it's based canon. On the Expanded Universe? Oh, it is canon.
Well, it's Canon C. I don't know exactly how Star Wars canon works, but when I looked up Shadows of the Empire, I think I'm Wikipedia.
Like, A is good, B is like, okay, C is just shit. So it's canon C.
No, C is average.
Okay.
D is passable. It's
canon American math skills.
Yes.
Right, and F is slash fic.
Yes, exactly. F is the Super Star Wars games.
Oh, yes. Well, and interesting, I love the idea that you insert stories that are kind of in between or side stories to the main mm-hmm. story. But I think they were trying to involve too many of the main characters, and they were hamstrung by doing that because they can't change the story.
Right.
And so Dash Rendar can't do anything that has any effect on the main Star Wars story.
Right.
Because these characters all have to get right back in their places sure. for Empire.
And Dash is not mentioned in right. Jedi, so it wouldn't make sense for him to do, you know, something amazing that changes the world.
Because there's a PlayStation 2 game, I believe it's PlayStation 2, like Lord of the Rings, like the Third Age or something like that. And it's basically you're playing a group of heroes that are like 10 minutes behind the regular heroes. So, like, you'll see them in, like, the bushes and stuff, and you have to, like, hide, and then you're basically just picking up their leftovers the whole way through. And, nice. Like, so, like, you end up talking to Gandalf a little bit more whenever yeah. he falls down the cliff, like, for the Balrogs. Like, whenever you don't see Gandalf in the shows,
yeah.
or Gandalf, whatever I'm saying, that he's off actually talking to the other, to main party B back here, that is still the same setup as the other party. So
cool.
It
reminds me of that.
Yeah. No, a little bit. Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
But there's a train level.
There's a train level in this game.
I thought about you the whole time I was playing it, Tyler.
The train level makes a return. So we haven't had a train level in a while.
It's on like the rusty water and diarrhea planet. Where it's the train that's like it has to travel through all of this.
It's not as bad as a train level in Buster Bus Loose. It's not. But it's also not great because it's by nature a fucking train level.
Oh, man. There's a bit of sign. Okay, I'll duck.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to jump over this sign.
Uh-huh.
Why, there's a... Okay, I can't pass through this one. Oh, ow.
Oh, yeah, when the train, like, goes into the water.
Yeah.
And it's yep. like, I don't know what's... I'm okay. Dead.
There's, like, this big orange beam. I can't jump over it. All right, my legs hurt. Or I can't duck under. Oh, now my head hurts. All right. Just the way it is.
It's a train level.
Just going to take that in the face.
Accept it.
I'm going to jump to this other train. I'm going to float in the air right up in the diarrhea water. Okay.
But see, this was the thing about the yellow buttons. I didn't do any of that because what I did is as soon as that bar was coming, I dramatically changed my camera angle. And got to watch Dash get hit in all sorts of different creative cinematics.
You got to watch his Clint Eastwood permanent frozen expression of sourness.
Right? Here's my expression before I got hit in the face. Here was my body position before I got hit in the face.
He looks like one of the Geico cavemen to me.
Yeah. With how broad-shouldered he is with all the armor that doesn't do anything to protect you from anything.
I think it was Tyler who pointed out that his shoulder pads look like baby back ribs.
Because he's dressed like old-fashioned Cable,
mm-hmm.
like yeah. 90s, the X-Men yeah, Cable.
You're right. Palette swap Cable.
Now, what would make Han Solo better? I don't know. A cool name like Dash and make him look like Cable. How about Bishop? Fuck you! It's Cable! But then I didn't like... Oh, another gripe about the N64 controller, like... Why there's so many games that are like joystick exclusive when the joystick is just so poorly placed.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I feel like this game would have been better if you could have used the D-pad so you yes. don't overcorrect as much.
Yes.
But nope, may as well just yes. pick up a knife and just saw off that D-pad part of the N64 controller.
Because yes. it just yeah. mimics the camera. I mean, it's just the yellow buttons. It doesn't make any sense to me. And the joystick is bad. The game controls poorly. When you're Dash Rendar, the game controls poorly. This is what every time I was controlling Dash, it felt to me like I wasn't controlling a human character. I was controlling a vehicle. It's yeah. like it's like they built a game that was vehicle driven and then decided to make it a person instead of a speeder or instead of a swoop bike or instead of a Carillion freighter. They're like, I don't know, it's it'll work just the same if it's a person, right?
It's just, I mean, if it worked Resident Evil, being like tanks and everything else.
This game controls worse than Resident Evil.
So is that why you kept falling off cliffs?
Yes, it is why I was falling off. I mean, that, and I'm just naturally bad at Shadows of the Empire.
So you want to talk about how egregious it is that this is ranked better than Resident Evil 2?
That was, yes, I would love to talk about that. Resident Evil 2 is a great game, and that's coming from a guy who didn't play Resident Evil 2 and decided to play it for a podcast in 2015.
That's, people said, hey, play this, Dave. You're like, no, I got a plan.
Yeah, I'm waiting. It's going to be great. We're going to talk about our dicks while we do it.
I'm saving it for podcast. I've got my promise ring and this thing that I saw. I'm saving it for podcast.
I had a dance with my daddy at a ball that said that in 2015, I will talk about Resident Evil 2 on the internet.
Me too, Dave.
Your dad was really proud of you. He took that card you signed and put it up at work.
Yep.
My son's going to wait and play Resident Evil 2 until he has a podcast.
Yep. Everyone was really impressed. I think it's really weird that we haven't played through the list yet, so there might be game like Shadows of the Empire might belong on the list, but if it does, it definitely belongs lower ranked than Resident Evil 2.
What about Mortal Kombat Trilogy?
Well, it's better than Mortal Kombat Trilogy.
Okay, there we go. It's pretty. How'd you feel about the hover bike,
the swoop bike in Tatooine?
Maybe that's what I mean. Maybe,
yeah. It's the one.
It's like if it was a motorcycle, but it's got Marty McFly's skateboard strapped to the bottom instead of wheels.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a swoop bike.
And those swoop bikers that wait so patiently for you to catch up with them and destroy them.
Yep. Yeah, it's really weird. That level is really, 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 really weird because it is like they tried to put a racing game just in the middle of Shadows of the Empire. But at the last minute, they were like, oh my God, this really is not fun. It sucks a lot. What can we do to fix it?
Except we're going to put a donut at the very, very end that if you don't shoot the donut, you get to start all over.
That is in the book. That's called Threading the Needle in Beggar's Canyon. I thought that was frustrating because I totally had problems threading that needle, but I did think it was cool that they included
it. So for that part, you need to read the book to know what was going on to clear the stage?
No, it's just at the very end. It starts out, you're in Mos Eisley, a city in Tatooine. You're in a city at going... You tap the acceleration button and you are like, you're going 200 miles an hour. You're in a city, you're running into walls, and it's hilarious because your swoop bike is indestructible.
Yeah. I mean, these other guys.
Yeah, they're blowing up left and right. All you have to do is like do a little like shitty road rash bump and they blow up. Meanwhile, you can literally like, at one point, like I was trying to turn around, I got trapped in a corner, and it was hilarious to see the swoop bike just kind of like turning over itself and like rolling over and like trying to drive up the wall.
It's no Skyrim horse, but.
So you eventually get out of Mos Eisley. You go over dunes. There's an obligatory Sarlacc pit. There's two Sarlacc pits where it's also something that bothers me in Star Wars games. They're like, hey, here's something from the movie you guys know.
Gotta have a Sarlacc.
There it is. Has nothing to do with anything.
You guys swooning over this? Are you? Okay, good.
It's like the weirdest fan service. And then you get to Beggar's Canyon, which at the very end, in order to complete the level, you have to ramp up and jump through a rock formation that kind of looks like a giant head of a needle.
It sounds sexier when you call it threading a needle. This is why I'm not an author.
Yeah.
Because shoot the donut just sounds...
Yeah. I don't know. Shoot the donut was pretty provocative. It made me think of like Homer having to like jump a bike through the lard lad donut. Like, it was very, very evocative to me, at least.
I have seen Steve
to a better genre.
Evocative to lovers of donuts.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I need to write cookbooks.
I have seen Steve Perry's first draft, and in it, he did call it shooting the donut. So,
all right.
Yeah, I don't think you're a bad writer, Wiley.
Fledgling author.
You're no worse than Steve Perry. The swoop bike is weird because, it's weird because everything we said, but it's also normal because this game, like, kind of like does this vehicle thing. It does like a vehicle stage, then a shoot shit stage, as Nicole would say, and then another vehicle stage. And it kind of like staggers these vehicle missions throughout the game. Because there's one point where you are in the Outrunner and you are controlling the guns, shooting TIE fighters out of the sky.
And that is fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, I think all of the vehicle levels in this game, even the swoop bike level, is better than the third person over the shoulder shooting.
Yeah, well, and especially first person in that turret, that feels like another one of those classic Star Wars movie moments. You're Han Solo in the turret blasting TIE fighters. Mm-hmm. But yeah, outside of the ship, it's walking a dude around with tank controls.
And it is really, in my opinion, the definition of floaty controls, because when Dash jumps high and far. It's like he jumps kind of like the Tick jumps. It's really difficult to like figure out where you're going to land. Whether you jumped so high that when you land, you will deal damage to yourself, which has happened to me before. And also there is, sometimes he does this thing where he doesn't, if you walk up to a ledge, he won't fall off it, but he'll kind of do a stutter thing, which I guess is either bad programming or is just to let you know.
So I'm going, oh shit, oh shit.
Right,
oh, shit,
exactly.
Oh, shit.
Hey, dude, you're about to fall. But he doesn't do like some kind of like, whoa, off balance animation. It's just the model just like stutters up and
down.
Yeah,
same
shit.
Thing on the train level. Every time you started moving on the train level, it was like he was walking through mud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not good. Not a great situation.
What was that move again?
Whoa. For all our listeners at home, I'm waving my arms around like I'm falling.
It's pretty funny.
That's the best that I can bring to this show is my visual comedy.
Well, the great thing that really infuriates me about games of this era is they had to include an obligatory jumping puzzle.
Yeah.
With the spinning gear room that looks like it's covered in red safety lights.
Uh-huh.
There's an obligatory jumping puzzle where you have to make sure you time his poorly controlled jumps. Mm-hmm. And there's also several walk through a tunnel and keep yourself from getting chopped up based on your walk timing puzzles.
Once again, with bad controls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess, and I understand it, that is third person or first person perspective gaming requirements, maybe. It's on in almost every game of this era, but at the same time, super frustrating.
I think that I would have been impressed with this game as a young gamer in 1996 if I had no PC gaming experience.
I didn't know any better, yeah. I'd be impressed by this game.
Oh yeah, I'd have Pickle in one hand, N64 controller in the other.
I mean, I'm trying to give the game some credit because I do feel like that it deserves some credit.
So yeah.
It's like you would have been what, 14?
I would have been, 14.
As a Easy, freshman man. In high school. Sorry, not you, Wiley.
I'd have been a junior when this came out.
So as a freshman in high school, you would have been impressed with it?
Yeah. If I had not played any Star Wars games or any 3D games on the PC, I think I would have been impressed with it. Because this was like really, I mean, this came out really shortly after the N64 was released. So I think just the fact that
they're still figuring it out.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like at the time I probably could have been impressed by it. It's just weird, like looking back on a game this old that is like this not sure of what it's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, even now, the spinning text on the title screen, I was surprised at how good that looked.
Yeah.
How sharp it looked.
Yeah. And the cutscenes. I know they're not like the fully animated cutscenes and fully voiced cutscenes that are in the PC version, but there's little bits of animation in it that I think are really nice touches. They kind of remind me of like a Capcom style of animation. And I thought that was really cool.
And that's where my nostalgia came in, because I was looking at Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at Leia and Luke. Although, what happened to Luke's face? What was?
Oh, you mean Mark Hamill? He just got old.
Oh, okay. No, there was one scene. It was on Tatooine when Dash is talking to Luke, and Luke is all mauled up on the face.
Oh, it's the bikers beat him up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the bikers beat him up.
I was like, that I don't remember that.
Yeah, they were in the book. They rough him up before he jumps on a speeder and takes off, or he jumps on one of the swoop bikes and takes off.
But that was where my nostalgia kicked in.
As a Jedi, he just lets them beat on him.
There's a bunch of them. Yeah, I mean, Luke's one of those like characters where I always feel like.
I mean, he's got a magic sword.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is essentially just, not to put any biker gangs down, but this is essentially just a biker gang versus a fucking Jedi.
Sons of Anarchy roll up on a Jedi.
Man.
I mean, I feel like all you have to do is just like hit that lightsaber, just put the blade out, and they're probably going to back off. You don't have to actually start chopping them up. Just go ahead like, look what I can do. Look what I got.
2 months previously, he was fighting the second in command of the Galactic Empire. And now he is getting the shit kicked out of him by 12 bikers.
Well, so my buddy Campbell, who was watching us play the game too earlier today, was saying one of the great things about this is the reassuring notion that even in a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, there's still douchebag biker gangs roaming around. Being jerks.
Have you? I was reading I was listening to a story about how journalists trying to sensationalize stories are why we have biker gangs today.
Yes, I heard this.
Like, biker gangs used to be like, it's like people, motorcycle enthusiasts who would like hang out. They were like, just like, they were all like Pat Boone. They would just like hang out and just liked being around each other. And then there was a journalist who like was put on this. He thought it was boring. So he sensationalized like they were criminals, and then people started admiring that lifestyle, and then it became a thing
That
just because somebody wanted to sell a story.
It inspired Easy Rider, which sparked the huge like biker gang phenomena. I think I heard that on Cracked, on the Cracked podcast.
It was on Cracked or it was on Reddit, the Reddit podcast.
I know I heard it on, I don't listen to the Reddit podcast.
I think I
know
that's where I heard it too, but the Reddit, I mean, I love all things Reddit, but the man that I haven't listened to that podcast in a while.
I didn't even try it after you told me about it.
Yeah.
Because you were like, you said it was pretty pretentious.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, I made Reddit. let me just jerk off about all of these awesome things that happened because I made Reddit.
Yeah. I skipped it.
The stories are interesting. It's just like, the guy who does it is just like, fuck, man. Just
he made Reddit, Tyler.
Go jerk off and then just like give the mic to the people who actually like contribute and shit like that.
Yeah.
But well, anyway.
Add that to my list of things to do when I finish the time machine.
But like the force push, like where I've seen in other Star Wars games where like they stomp and throw their arms out and just like everyone around them scatters.
Yeah.
Was this like not a thing yet? Is there just like
there was
force choking and that's like there as was, much as they
there was push and pull. Vader throws a whole bunch of City in the Clouds furniture at Luke. Yeah.
Yep.
With the force. But
is Luke not a very adept force user like that?
No, not
at this point.
Yeah. He is just learning.
Okay. He's not like, well, but not biker gang level yet.
Not quite. He can hold his own against Daddy.
Didn't get really awesome until episode one when they could throw tons and tons and tons of droids around.
Yeah. And that's the other thing where it's just kind of like one of those things where I kind of feel like Star Wars Jedi's kind of got Superman complex or Dragon Ball Z complex where it's like, oh man, these three movies came out and oh my God, they were amazing. And they shaped the way we think about fiction, the way we think about mythology. Let's just think about how cool it would be to manipulate that in extreme measures. And then like new stuff started coming out where it's just like more bombastic.
Cause I thought like, moving a can towards you with the force was like a big deal. And then now I've seen all this stuff like, because I looked on the Wikipedia, like looking up like other expanded universe stuff. And there's a Sith Lord who fights with like 20 lightsabers that he just controls telekinetically around himself and shit like that. So I don't know. Midichlorians, I don't know if you get. You just like.
Yeah.
Like a Bioshock, like you just inject yourself with a ton of midichlorians and you can just like lift cars and throw them. And I don't understand.
Star Wars cars.
Star Wars cars. Swoop cars. I don't know.
Yeah, swoop mobiles.
Pod racers.
Yeah, there you go. You've seen that movie. You know about pod racing.
Darth Maul with spider legs. Just throw them in there.
I feel like we're going to catch a lot of hate for this episode.
Yeah, well, because like you said, I think this was special to a surprising number of people. Mm-hmm. Friends that I was talking about had beaten it 2 and 3 times as kids.
It's man, the nostalgia glasses are basically, I feel like we're going to hit that a lot with this N64 list because
we haven't played them.
Yeah, so like our opinions probably aren't going to be very good to like people who would listen to a podcast about N64 games because they loved it so much. Yeah. And they're just like, these guys fucking suck.
Yeah, we need Meg to do a new disclaimer where she's like, if you really enjoy N64 games, maybe you should listen to, I don't know, the Cracked podcast or the Reddit podcast. It depends on your flavor and pretension.
I mean, we liked, so far, we liked Resident Evil 2. So far, we're...
Yeah.
So the Leia
we've had more hits than a stormtrooper.
Hi-o.
Yeah, that's a thing.
What were you saying, Wiley?
The Leia and Prince Xizor, however you say that.
Xizor.
Xizor?
Yeah.
Papa Zizo.
Yeah.
Papa,
thank you.
Was that plot in the book? Because apparently all Leia does is steal plans and get captured.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much. And she...
I thought that's what she did, was just get captured by various people.
Leia, I feel like Leia is one of those, like... She's, like, one of the first strong female characters in a... in a fantasy movie.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars is one of those where, like, is it sci-fi or is it fantasy? I think at its heart, it's a fantasy. But, like, it's... There's a weird part in the book, in Shadows of the Empire, where... Xizor has this ability to exude pheromones, and Leia just like totally falls in love with him, and he starts commanding her around, and that's essentially how she's captured. That is a very cringeworthy part of the story because it's just kind of like, I don't know all of this.
I'm gonna, if he'll get to this episode and be mad at me eventually, but I remember Cockmaster Shake. A fist puncher fame.
He didn't buy pheromones, did he?
What? No, he bought, it was a clone called Realm.
Okay.
That supposedly had like pheromones in it or had some pheromone effect. I remember like he would code himself on this before he'd go to like dances and stuff. He's like, man, I think it worked. I think this realm worked. I mean, she danced with me a lot tonight. okay.
This realm isn't working, man. Pass me the Strego.
Yeah.
So, but yet again, a Star Wars trope. We had Leia captured. You go into the garbage chute to go rescuing Leia, where you encounter the flying spaghetti monster.
Yeah. Yep. He's there. Eye stalk and all. He is very, very big. What are those called?
Dianokas.
Dianoka, yeah. There's one of those in the book, which I, when I was fighting this, Cthulhu-esque giant monster in the sewers, I was thinking, oh yeah, there was one of these in the book when they were coming through the sewers. It was in two sentences, and Luke pulled out his lightsaber and just killed it. Like, I mean, and in this game, it is like, it's a long, drawn-out battle.
You get touched by his noodly appendage.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, pretty... You use the jetpack in that level. We haven't talked about that yet.
Yeah.
One of the more interesting control aspects of the game with that fight where the jetpack works underwater and it's kind of above water and below water jetpack, and then the Boba Fett fight too, which was extraordinarily difficult to me.
Yeah, because you're both jetpacking around.
Yeah.
And it's like there's no indication of where he is. And it's a matter of like landing, trying to reorient yourself, and then being like, okay, where's Boba Fett? Oh, of course he's right on top of me. Like literally he is above me shooting me.
Yeah, and your blaster will auto aim except when it doesn't.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
So, you know, probe up there, auto aim, kill him in 2 shots. You don't even have to use the Z button. But Boba Fett, you only shoot at your shoes.
So is Boba Fett like a badass warrior? Is he supposed to be like super deadly? Because I just hear about him, like everyone thinks he's awesome, but everything I see, he's just like losing all the time.
He's like, the greatest bounty hunter in the galaxy.
He's a clone of his dad, and his dad, like Mace Windu's like, you're dead. So I've got a lot of disconnect with Boba Fett, so I don't understand him as a character. and he only has like two lines in like the original trilogy.
That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing, right? Because like you hear that he is like the baddest. He is just the creme de la creme of bounty hunters. That's how they refer to themselves. Mm-hmm. They're very fancy. And but meanwhile, he has like he doesn't speak. He barely speaks in the movies. When he does, it's raspy. It's essentially they've built this mysterious character. He is the mysterious character, and that mystique elevates him to like. Because I remember when I saw Empire, it was like, oh, who is this guy? Who is this guy that he's got Han Solo? Because you know you establish a relationship with Han Solo, you realize that he always has a trick up his sleeve, and now there's a guy out there who got him. No one can get him, but this guy got him, and he doesn't say anything, and he looks badass. He's wearing this
Mandalorian armor,
which you don't know.
Is it like an artifact? Like
none of that's said in the movies, and like that's the way it should have been. Like they should have just like Boba Fett. Every iteration of Boba Fett outside of the movies makes Boba Fett less interesting.
Yes. So that you don't need to understand him as a character more simply as a costume.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, exactly. I mean, the fact that you know nothing about this man other than the fact that the way he dresses, the way he sounds, and the fact that he can get Han Solo.
Yeah. That makes him menacing.
Yeah.
And like, cause I was looking into it, like Yoda's backstory is something that's never been like, you don't know his origin story. He's just powerful little guy.
I don't know much
about. Last of his kind.
Yeah, I don't know much about Yoda or his race. Because he doesn't look like Boba Fett. So why would I look him up?
It's true.
There you go.
You guys have anything else to say about the game? Or you do achievements? Or
I don't have any achievements.
Maze level? Do you want to talk about the maze level?
In the boss fight? Is that maze level?
I mean, it was the gladiator.
Yeah. That's as far as I got, which is the second to last level. I quit accidentally. I paused the game and accidentally quit while I was fighting him.
That shouldn't be so easy to do.
I mean,
should be a quit. Are you sure? Yes, no kind of thing.
It is 100% my fault, but yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where it was just like, I hit start. Nikki came in with Henry. I was talking to her, playing with him, and I looked back at the screen, and it was just one of those things where I guess I had inadvertently gone to quit and hit start to unpause the game, but start confirmed that I wanted to quit. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, it was 100% my fault.
Well, so I had Jordan helping me out with the bosses in this. They were really frustrating to me, and I struggled with them, and they were all sort of this is not even my final form kind of bosses. Mm-hmm. You finally beat the jetpacking around Boba Fett, and then he hops in his ship and tries to destroy you. So just when you think you win, you have not won. Same deal with the gladiator. You destroy this gigantic robot. He turns into a head and torso, and you start all over again, except the floor comes up and it becomes a maze. And so now you have to use your jetpack to get away from him. And then you finally destroy this head and torso robot. And you're like, wow, finally, I beat it. And then no, jetpack failure. Your jetpack no longer recharges. So you have a very limited amount that you can jump around. And the robot, this massive robot, becomes a remote. It's just his head. That's like a flat square floating around.
Is he impossible to hit?
Yes.
Yeah, I figured. Because you encounter some of those like those little floating remotes earlier in that level, and they're impossible to hit.
Yeah, even with auto-aim, but then now you're on a boss fight, and you don't get auto-aim. Uh-huh. So they take away
options from you to make a boss fight more challenging?
Yeah, you do not auto-aim in boss fights.
Right. And your seekers like don't work in harder. Boss fights. The manual warned me about that. I did get that far in the manual, where seekers are like heat-seeking missile kind of things, where you can shoot them at regular enemies, and they'll seek the enemies. But if you're in a boss fight, all of the bosses have special EM emissions that prevent your seekers from working.
Magic bullshit.
Yes, exactly.
I can dig that. All right, magic bullshit.
Yeah, so that was frustrating. And then, Dave, maybe you can help. If you get to the credits, there is a Weena Mekatur listed as the Hopping Woman.
No, I don't know what that. I don't know what all that's about.
She's Jordan credited. Tells me in every video game, Star Wars video game he's played, they always mention the Hopping Woman.
Really?
Yeah. I did not know about this.
I didn't either. I guess that's it. I'm going to have to play through the Super Star Wars series on the Super Nintendo, I guess.
Yeah, this was his claim. I don't know if this is true, but this was his claim that the hopping woman is a thing.
Huh. I'm going to start looking for it now. Just like I looked for Yuki's mama and Yuki's papa in Capcom games. We mentioned the jetpack. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say that I felt like the jetpack reinforced how I felt about this game. Felt like you were driving a vehicle and not a human.
Yeah.
Because I felt like the jetpack worked wonderfully. The jetpack felt good.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed the two levels where they give you the jetpack because those controls are so much smoother and they feel intuitive, so much more intuitive than simply jumping with Dash Rendar.
Yes, I agree.
That's it. That's the last thing that I wanted to say.
Achievements? Talk about achievement. You don't have any? Wally, do you have any?
I was trying to think of some, but not off the top of my head. No.
I've got two.
Okay, what you got?
My first one is Wampa Womper. Which nice. you kill 10 Wampas.
Uh-huh.
Which they love to hide behind like doors that have like Coke machines in them.
Yes.
And then just like slowly like ramble at you.
Uh-huh.
And the other, which I guess this is sort of a thing that is good for the game. Like if you get used to the movement of Dash Rendar and the jumping and the floating, it encourages exploration. Because you can explore everywhere and find like collector tokens,
challenge points,
and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And if you get all of them, you get like a new ending and stuff like that. So my second one is Weird Swan Collector, and you get that by getting all the challenge tokens.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, I like that.
Oh, yeah. You, about the rebel symbol, I got you.
The weird swan. Yeah.
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 Oh,
that's the symbol of the rebel.
Ah, I got you. Now, I didn't come up with any because I was desperately trying to beat this game before we started. Alas, I failed. But I try to come up with some on the spot, but we got to get this out. We got to get this episode out, and I'm tired, so I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Well, but the collecting of the symbols, we didn't talk about that at all. That was, I think, one of those early kind of achievement sort of mechanics where it had a time that was par to beat for the level and a number of those, what were they called?
Challenge points.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Where you had a number of challenge points that they would tell you per level and a time that you could beat for par. And I think the time that you can beat for par is in the credits. It's one screen that's got the name of every level and a time beside it. And it says, can you beat these times?
And they also give you that information, I think, at the end of each level, right?
Yeah.
It kind of sucks that they give it to you after you finish the level. Because it's like, oh, well, there were 15 challenge points in this level. I only got 3. If I'd have known there was 15, maybe I would have, hunted some more down or something like that. They give
and
you...
One, go ahead.
They give you extra lives, which is nice. So they have a purpose beyond just collecting them.
Yeah.
Because at the end of each level, they tally up how many challenge points you've got. And if it's a certain amount, you get bonus lives.
Yeah. And maybe it was a limitation of being on a cartridge. I did have to explain to my buddies what clipping was.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was terrible in this game.
Yeah, it was. But I think that's totally to be expected for the time.
Explain to me what clipping is exactly.
Clipping is where you have two modeled objects.
Oh, okay.
And instead of colliding naturally, one will kind of enter the geometry of the other one and cause some really usually hilarious effects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if there's a speed run, there's a 55-minute speed run of Shadows of the Empire on YouTube.
I watched that.
And he takes ridiculous advantage of the clipping errors in this game.
Yes.
He jetpacks to a point where he enters a wall sideways and it's like the game gravity changes and he can walk around and jetpack zoom inside walls and all this in this level. It's entertaining. I'm not sure I'd call it a speed run.
Yeah, I mean, technically it is.
Boo.
I think that
that guy who beats Mario 64 in like 10 minutes by holding the rabbit and like phasing through walls.
Yeah, that's the kind of silliness that's going on. But even not doing that intentionally, the game had some clipping problems.
I'm glad that you reminded me that this game was on a cartridge, because I think for a cartridge-based game, it sounded pretty good.
Yeah, it did.
I mean, John Williams' soundtrack sounded great. Actually, I think that was one of the typical of a early Star Wars console game. I think that was like one of the best things about the game, was that when the soundtrack was thrumming, I was excited to play the game, which was usually in a vehicle level. The sound effects, I did think it was great that Wilhelm's scream is in it.
Yeah, I'm glad you reminded me of that. We were laughing the whole time. Like, it wouldn't be Star Wars without Wilhelm's scream.
Yeah, and it's hilarious because it's like you're just going along and like all the sounds are pretty kind, like the sound effects are kind of muted. And then like if you just happen to shoot a guy and he falls off a ledge, there's Wilhelm's scream. Like, 4 decibels higher than everything else.
Just so you don't miss it.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I've had fun. I've had fun recording this show. I'm glad that I played through Shadows of the Empire so that I could have this 1 hour and 15 minutes of fun with you and Wiley. Before we end things, I've got a couple of questions. Well, maybe a few questions for you. Mm-hmm. The first of which being, if you were to give this game a beard that sums up just how you feel about it, what kind of beard would it be?
I'd have to give this a dangling red flesh beard of the Sith Lord Scourge.
Please educate me on Star Wars trivia. I do not know who Scourge is.
I think he worked under Darth Revan.
Oh, okay. And like from KOTOR?
Sure.
Okay, from Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, such a good game.
Okay, I haven't gotten to him yet. Okay, cool. All right, that's good. I love a Star Wars beard. The only Star Wars beard that I can think of would be Obi-Wan's or Kyle Katarn's, or maybe that's it. Not Scourge. I don't know who that guy is. I'm excited to find out. If you were to give this game a pair of glasses, Tyler, what kind of glasses would they be?
I would have to give this. Whenever he is tapping into the dark side of the Force, the yellow angry eyes of Jason Solo or Darth Cadus, as he's otherwise known.
Is that one of Han and Leia's kids?
Han and Leia's kids, yes, becomes a Sith Lord, Darth Cadus.
Okay.
Wow.
I also didn't know that. My knowledge of expanded universe is very limited.
I got lost in the Wikipedia just looking up random shit today.
That happens sometimes, man. Check out Bothan. Check out Joe Camel Werewolf.
That's right.
So really, overall, both of these sound like they're cool beards and glasses.
They do.
But as to what I've heard so many like Star Wars aficionados say is that the expanded universe is shit. Don't listen to it. Just ignore it. So you can take that as either pretty good or, well, they don't even matter anyway. Like a lot of stuff about this game.
I think that's very fair.
Especially the plot.
Yeah. That's one thing about the novel that I was thinking where it is just plot point to plot point to plot point. To be expected, there's not going to be a lot of character work, but I mean, what are you going to do?
Just stamp some Star Wars on it. People will buy it.
Yeah. It's
exactly.
I mean, it's worked for 2 generations of consoles. Why not again?
Right.
I've got a question for both of you, actually. Mm-hmm. It's a little segment that I like to call, how much is this game on Amazon? If you were to buy this game used, Shadows of the Empire, used for the N64 on Amazon, how much do you think you're going to be paying for it?
How many of them did you say that were sold? This was a near launch title for the 64, right?
It was. It came out 4 months after the console released. They sold a bunch. I can't remember exactly how many it was, but they sold a bunch.
$5.
$5 from Tyler. What do you think? What do you think, Wiley?
I was going around the same range. Okay. I'll say $6.
$6 from Wiley. Actual. Retail value of Shadows of the Empire for the N64 used on Amazon at the time of this recording was $5.59.
Oh,
just
nice.
About split the difference. Tyler takes it. I've been buying these games to play, and Shadows of the Empire has so far been the absolute cheapest of all of them. I got it for less than that.
Wow.
Online, which is saying a lot.
Yeah.
Like, because they're usually more expensive. Games are usually more expensive online than finding them in a box at a yard sale or something.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. Unless you go to one of those retro gaming stores, and then you'll pay three times that.
Like $60.
Yeah. Holy shit. Bart versus the Space Mutants. $120. That's a steal.
Yeah, but you can get Jack Nicholas Golf all day long for a dollar.
Well, Wiley, you came on. Did you have a announcement, a challenge?
Yes. Well, so you guys played my call for the last one. I wanted to celebrate that 200th episode. I love the Patreon idea, and I love that people are contributing to that, and I love you guys, so I want to encourage more of that, and so I can fill that out a little more. So for the 200th episode, I was offering to do a matching gift where if someone else can put together up to $1 an episode for the first 200 episodes, that I would match it. To try to encourage people to support you guys doing what you love, because we love watching you, I guess listening to you, you're welcome, Jacob, doing what you love to do. And so that's the deal. If they want to call in and commit to it, or if they want to text and commit to it, anybody who will be willing to give to the You Show Me Yours, I'll Show You Mine challenge, I'll match them.
Awesome. That's amazing. That's extremely generous of you.
Yes.
We do really appreciate it.
Oh, well, I have gotten the pleasure that a lot of Tadpog Nation doesn't get to do, which is sit and watch you two do this. And I know, and I have so much fun when I get the opportunity to do it with you. So if we can do something to help you be able to do it longer or do it better or whatever, or just to say thank you, I think it's been well worth it.
But it's awesome. Thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
Very much. Thank you.
My pleasure.
And thanks for being on.
Yeah.
Thanks for the invitation. I'll look for another one when the next Star Wars game comes up.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It's one of those things where it's like, it's Star Wars. We got to get Wiley on.
Rogue Squadron is coming up not too far away.
Rogue Squadron. And I am super excited about Rogue Squadron. I didn't play it on the N64. I played it on, I think, the GameCube. It might not have been the first Rogue Squadron. It might have been just another iteration in the series. Mm-hmm. But that is... It was straight up fun. So a Star Wars, I'm looking forward.
I'll be the judge of that, David.
It's going to be fun for me because it's a whole bunch of flying around shooting stuff.
Well, and it was breaking my heart listening to the last episode, you and Leva and Jacob doing Civ 5 and D&D cast.
Yeah.
I was so jealous. Man, how was I not on that show?
What do you like those things or something, Wiley? I don't understand.
Oh, yes. I think I talked about it on the interview episode. Sid Meier, I think, is just a game design genius.
Yeah.
And he's done lots of different stuff, but his main trick, his big trick, is the Civilization and all those sorts of games, that big, long-form, large-scale strategy game that is just made. That's what computers were made for.
When we get him on the show, you're gonna be the fourth person on that episode. It'll be me, Tyler, Sid Meier, and you, Wiley.
I'm not sure I could talk. It would just be sort of basking in the glow.
Well, what we'll do, I promise we'll get you in on our Jesus beer and miniature painting cast. we'll do that episode.
So I just put in like a $45 order worth of miniatures from Reaper yesterday.
Did you?
I did.
Awesome. Did you do one of their Kickstarters, or was it just an order off their site?
Just an order off their site. I'm running the Rise of Tiamat module for D&D 5 with a group right now. And them are new players. In fact, almost all of them are new players. And so I'm introducing a totally new group of people to D&D, and I had to make sure it was safe before I started the miniatures conversation.
Test the waters?
Oh, but man, they have bought in.
Nice.
In fact, most of the miniatures that are coming in, the players are buying. I just picked up a couple extra for some of the big bad characters that they will have their own miniature when we get there in the story. But we're already planning our painting party.
Nice.
The The miniatures should be coming in the mail this coming week, so they'll be ready for our next session. They're excited about it, and they picked out their own.
Sweet.
It's going to add a lot to the game.
I love Reaper's miniatures. I really want to see, do you mind posting them once they're painted?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Sweet. I really want to see them. Josh is really good at that. Nicole, too. We painted miniatures at Dragon Con last year. Nicole's turned out amazing. I think she's got a knack for it.
Cool. Well, I'd love to see some of those pictures, too. I don't know if you want to put them up on the Facebook page or what, but or just send them to me. I'd love to see those.
I don't have them, but I'll ask. If I remember, which I won't, unfortunately, I'll ask Nicole to send me photos of them.
I'll send her a text message. I got Nicole's number.
Ready to close it out?
Yeah, I'm good.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. So you don't miss the next episode. It's probably going to be our Tomb of Horror special.
No one called us out on the fact that we didn't do a D&D.
Jacob asked me, what happened to Tomb of Horrors? I was like, well, that's going to be a long and complicated edit and everything process. We're going to need another disclaimer and an intermission special. So that's coming next Monday. It's going to be an ordeal. It's going to be originally I was like, well, let's do an hour and a half. And then after an hour and a half, man, they're not even 10% into this. Or let's do a little bit longer. Okay, let's do a little bit longer. So it's about 2.5 hours long.
For
that one episode. So then I've
and
got.
I can't wait.
I don't know. That's the thing. As we were recording it, I was like, man, I am having so much fun playing this. But it's oh, man, I don't know. This is going to be fun to listen to.
Translate? Yeah. So we'll see. That's coming up on Monday. And then next Wednesday, we'll be doing the 22nd game. Pokemon Snap.
Yep, Pokemon Snap.
Good one.
You know what we still love, even though it has gone completely stagnant?
What's that, Tyler?
5-star iTunes reviews.
Randy Johnson's? Oh, right, yes.
I love a good Randy Johnson.
I mean, who doesn't?
And according to Phil and I, the Sandwich Lord Phil and I had this conversation, and asking him what he wants at Tadpog Prom. He's like, do you want a Randy Johnson, Howard Johnson, Brandon Johnson? What do you want? He's like, no, I want a Reginald Bell Johnson. I was like, so the father from Family Matters, Reginald Bell Johnson, that can only be performed upon a female, and that is where you lick both the ass and the vagina. So rim vagina Bell Johnson.
At the same time?
Or like a popsicle, you just get it all in one go.
You know, Kyle, I learned something today.
So added to the Tadpog lexicon, the Reginald Bell Johnson.
Well, his life has already been destroyed by the character Steve Urkel. Why not throw that on top of him?
Also, what's Paul playing today? He played this game. So if you want to see what we're talking about with Dash Rendar and his mitten face and
it looked like scrambled eggs on a mitten.
Clipping and blue screens and all sorts of fun. Mm-hmm. What's Paul playing today? Star Wars Shadows of the Empire. But 5-star iTunes reviews. They've kind of dried up, but still going to push them. We still love them. And they still help. So if you want to throw pity on us, go in there, give us a 5-star written iTunes review. Helps us out a whole lot. Makes us more. We'll come up in search terms, search checks, whatever, way more often.
We'll get more hits.
Get more hits.
Get those iTunes hits, man.
So, and we further try to sweeten that deal. There's a game you want us to play or a guest host you want on an episode. Include that in your 5-star review. And we promise that we will get to that.
Eventually.
Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We are maybe going to be playing D&D from the past. I don't know. Maybe. I kind of feel like Wiley will be upset if we're not. In the meantime, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. And that's where you can find all our back episodes. Or SoundCloud. You can go to SoundCloud and find them there, too. You can find us on Facebook. We are at facebook.com/tadpog. There's a lot of cool people there. They're doing a lot of cool shit. That is an excellent place to let us know how you feel about this particular episode. Tyler will make an episode post and just let us know how you felt about what we did to your favorite game, Shadows of the Empire. Because I have a feeling that around 3 o'clock tomorrow, I'm going to look on Facebook and it's going to be like, oh, damn, there's 15 people who are regular listeners who are really mad that we just did not give Dash Rendar his Reginald Johnson.
Take a huge dump on your favorite game.
You can also find us on Twitter. We are at @tadpog_podcast. Yes, it's cumbersome, I realize. Thank you for everybody on there who follows us and who retweets us. I especially want to give a special thanks to Leva, who retweeted the hell out of us, the episode that she was on, episode 203. Mm-hmm. So we really do appreciate it. And of course, all the regulars who retweet us and just generally tweet at us, because as you know, that gives me something to read on the toilet at work. You can find us on some other places. There's SoundCloud, like I mentioned. We mentioned the Patreon. If you do feel like sending Wiley to the poorhouse, you can go to patreon.com/tadpog.
It can be a game.
Yeah.
Bankrupt Wiley. Yeah. Turn Wiley into Cricket from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Show me them dialars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That should be our extra promotion, right? For every dollar you donate to the Patreon, you get one Tadpog Dylar. So it's not like it's an even exchange.
This is like a freemium game. You give us your real money, we'll give you our fake money that you can use on, I don't know, something.
Well, that's right. Two or three conversions, I'll forget its name.
And then you get three friends to give you each one Tadpog Dylar, and they get three friends. So check us out there if you want to. You don't have to. Lord Dennis sent me a photograph the other day of a tip jar, I guess, that he saw at a coffee shop that I think that we should totally steal for our Patreon. The sign read, put the tip in, see if it feels good. Mm-hmm. You can call us if you want. If you want to be one of the wonderful people who calls us and gives us content to play on the show, feel free to do so at 270-883-2555. If it's a voicemail, try to keep it under 3 minutes if possible.
Because yeah, we tapped that well and it went dry. So bombard us, please.
That's it. That's all I got.
Thanks again, Wiley.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on, guys.
You bet, man.
How do we want to close this out? Wait a minute, Wiley. What's our theme song?
Moves by Sycamore Drive.
Where can a link to that track be found?
A link to that track can be found on the show notes at tadpog.com.
All right. Now how do we want to close it out?
We almost didn't ask him because we knew that he knew the answer mm-hmm. to that question.
Not because we just completely forgot.
No, we didn't. No, we don't
forget
things.
It was over so much confidence in Wiley. You're right.
And glad to have been able to finally share an episode with the lovely Meg Holland as well.
She was here for a second.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she's already gone.
She left. Yeah, she left again.
What do you think? What do you think? I mean, Star Wars character?
Okay, do it as your favorite Star Wars character.
Okay.
From the expanded universe.
From the expanded, yes. I'm going to be Scourge. I have a problem saying that word, by the way. I always have.
Scourge?
I know it's Scourge. Scourge. But I always want to say Scourge.
Scourge.
Yeah. I ain't scared. All right. Sounds good.
So until next time.
Travagold.
I was trying to say Mitten Face Dash Rendar.
That's our new sign off.
'Yeah, it was a buddy that I used to spend the night with, and his mom would not let him have any fattening or sugar-filled snacks after a certain hour, after dinner.
No, I haven't heard this story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so every time I used to go to his house,
save it.
Stay up late and watch.
I want to be surprised. I want to be surprised.
And eat dill.
No, Wiley. I want to be surprised.
Oh. All right. I'll hold on to it.
You ready to do this?
Yeah.
Okay. Hello, Internet. Welcome to another Tadpog